In the middle of another big fire season, it might not seem like more fire is the right idea, but it is, according to scientists. If you let more wildfires burn, in the right conditions, you can lessen the future risk of bigger, costlier fires. The Forest Service is spreading this message more and more, but can it practice what it preaches? Reporter Tony Schick has been looking into this question, and so far the answer is no.
Shovel with the head cut off and bent. That's a green grabber.
At a warehouse in the Oregon Cascades, firefighters clad in greens and yellows stacked shovels against the pavement. They just finished a day of field training.
That one just kind of gets the dirt off. That one will get roots out.
Across the Northwest, this is how a lot of people geared up for fire season. Rick Stratton prepped a little differently.
And this is the wrist map I have. Let me show you this closer up.
We're at the Forest Service offices in downtown Portland. Stratton is a fire analyst here. We're looking at a brand new map of the Northwest with forests shaded in red, yellow, and green.
So the red is those areas where we have the highest probability of burning, intensities we don't want that affect the values negatively.
By values, he means things like homes and drinking water supplies.
The areas in green are where there's less values at risk. The intensities are such that it would be acceptable and even encouraged to promote.
You heard right. Areas where they want to promote wildfire. This map is a potential path toward using fire for our benefit, not just fighting it. Right now, government agencies suppress many wildfires that actually pose a low risk compared to the potential benefit. Putting them out can be counterproductive. The environment needs fire. Trying to exclude it builds up fuels, and that leads to fires burning under extreme conditions. That's why, more and more, the Forest Service is saying we instead need to learn to live with fire. But that's not exactly a new concept. Mike Edrington has been in fire for 40 years. He served as an area commander on the Yellowstone fires of 1988.
A fire in a natural environment is neither good or bad. It's just part of that whole ecosystem. And what makes fire disruptive is people.
Fire became a problem when we built homes and forests, and we started putting fires out to save timber. Edrington said he and others started to change their thinking in the 1980s. He says agencies have gotten smarter about managing fire and predicting how it will spread.
Today, it's pretty sophisticated.
But even now, nearly all fires are suppressed. Jim Pena served as Northwest Regional Forester for the Forest Service. He retired this month.
We were actively trying to suppress all the fires we had.
During summers, Pena told his staff not to ask if they could let a fire burn.
Some of those fires may have done us some more benefit had we allowed it burn.
But he says he can't accept the risk of one burning out of control. He also can't spare crews and engines to monitor a fire when they're needed elsewhere during a busy fire season.
I know from this year, very few of the communities that had dealt with a large fire for 2 months wanted to hear, this was a great fire.
Across the country, there were more than 71,000 wildfires last year. An analysis of incident records suggests fire managers tried something other than full suppression on a few hundred of those. All the incentives for fire managers point to aggressive suppression. The public and politicians pressure them to put fires out quickly. And agencies like the Forest Service still measure success based on how many fires they can keep small, under 300 acres. Last year, that was 97% of them.
We're still digging in our heels like we always have, and we're just going after it more and more and more and more, rather than backing off and taking a different assessment. And so we're trying to tackle that problem, only that problem is deep.
That's Chris Dunn. He used to fight fire.
About 8 years or so, I was in the dirt, out there digging fire line.
Dunn now studies fire risk management with Oregon State University. He's part of a Forest Service team, pushing the use of data to choose when and how to fight a fire or let it burn. Think Moneyball, the data analytics revolution in sports, but for wildfire.
Let's focus on that decision process, accept our outcomes, and make sure that we're making good decisions based on the best available information.
Soon, Dunn will take those maps Stratton was examining earlier, and he'll calculate the best response to a fire based on where it happens. It's an unprecedented tool in wildfire response. The question is whether fire managers will actually use it and finally learn to live with fire. I'm Tony Schick, reporting.